I want to draw attention to you guys to something that we all experience. We live in a society that it's driven by the media. And after a very successful movie in which the character was a dog, a Dalmatian, the animal shelters noticed an increase in people after a year of people who were returning the Dalmatians. Because after the movie, everybody wanted to have a Dalmatian for a pet. The Olympic Games just ended, or will be, or are ending right now with the ceremony, right? And after the Olympic Games, the gyms, the clubs, notice an increase in membership. The high schools notice an increase in people who want to train to get better at sports because they are moved by the images of the athletes that won medals for their countries. And if you watch the games, you were moved too, I'm sure. I watch very few of the competitions. But at times, I was moved to tears by the effort, by the stories behind the athletes. Because it's great effort. Because it's great sacrifice. Because it's great honor to win a medal for your country. Paul says to a young man like you, Timothy, in his first letter to him, verse 7 to 10 in chapter 4, if you would turn the Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 10, it says this: "Don't have anything to do with godless myths that old women like to tell. Rather, train yourself to live a godly life." And I want you to note, to underline this: train yourself to live a godly life. Training the body helps a little. We all like to be fit. It does good to our heart, does good to our overall health. Training the body helps a little, but godly living helps in every way. Godly living has the promise of life now and in the world to come. This is a statement that can be trusted and deserves complete acceptance. I want to ask you this. Do you agree that godly living is worth pursuing? Guys, from the balcony, after these wonderful 2 days when we spent time in the Word of God and we were challenged, do you believe that godly living is a matter worth pursuing? Yes. I'm going to ask you one more time. And I want you to be very serious and think what you are answering. Do you believe that godly living is a matter worth pursuing? Yes? Has the benefits in this life and in the life to come, right? Now, do you believe that a godly living is an easy task? No. So, that being said, understanding that it's worth pursuing and understanding that on our own we cannot do it, I want you to turn to the second letter to Timothy. And I want you to turn to chapter 2. And Timothy says this, verse 1. "My child," and I want to ask the brothers and sisters here who are older, how many of you are still children? How many of you are still children? Kisintetsinka kopi. Okay, thank you. So this addresses is addressed to you too. Says Paul here, "My child, Find your source of strength in the kindness. In another translation said, the grace of Christ Jesus. You see, in this matter of godly living, in this matter of pursuing what's important, we need strength. And Paul says, don't rely on anything else, but rely on the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. There might be other options, apparent options, but everything else fails except returning over and over and over to the grace of God. And then he says this, for those who really need to understand this, uses three images. And with two of them, you are very familiar. With one, not so much. Your parents are familiar with the third one. He uses three images. He uses the image of the soldier. He says this in verse 3. Join me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Whoever serves in the military doesn't get mixed up in non-military activities. This pleases his commanding officer. I want to ask you this. Are you getting mixed up in some things that don't please God? And I don't want you to answer loud. But answer it to yourself, because that's not pleasing to God. And if we said that godly living is worth pursuing, then we need to stop mixing other things. Because a good soldier suffers, a good soldier stays under authority, and a good soldier is set apart. I just read that. And maybe you guys know, how many weeks is the basic training for a U.S. Marine? 12 weeks. 12 weeks basic training. In 12 weeks, the Marine doesn't see his parents. Okay? After 12 weeks is the first time when he gets in contact with the parents, sees the parents. And by then, the little booklet said, now he's a Marine. He was set apart for the training. He was set apart, not mixed. He was not allowed to get mixed up with anything else but the basic training. You want to live a godly life, don't get mixed up with anything else. Amen to that? You heard the word of God. You heard the challenges. The word of God is clear. Don't get mixed up. Don't get mixed up with bad company. Don't get mixed up with drugs. Don't get mixed up with philosophies that will depart you from God. The second image is the one of the athlete. Okay? It says here, whoever enters an athletic competition wins the prize only when playing by the rules. So what do we learn from an athlete? What do we learn from watching the sports, which we all do? We need to play by the rules. The Word of God is the book of rules for our life. Do you read it every day? Do you wake up and the first thing you do is not checking your email or text messages, but checking the Word of God? May God help you do that. An athlete plays by the rules. An athlete practices. Practices, practices, practices. Trains. You need to practice prayer. You need to practice talking about the Word of God. You need to practice fellowshipping with other brothers and sisters. You need to practice. And an athlete understands that whatever competition, with a few exceptions, is not, it's an endurance test. And the life, the Christian life, is not a sprint. It's a marathon. I just watched the marathon. That was one thing that I watched. And if you watched it, you saw that one guy was ahead for almost the entire race, except for the last 5 miles. And after that, the guy who was in the third place took off, and that was it. It's the Christian life. pursuing godly life, it's not a sprint. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a marathon. Christ says, take your cross when? Every day, daily, right? Daily. May God help you do that. And the last one, the last image is something that your parents understand, and that's the image of a farmer. Paul says here, a hard-working farmer should have the first share of the crops. Understand what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. A farmer teaches us Christians that godly living requires hard work. You heard this morning, it means an intentional living. It doesn't just happen. You need to set your mind and will, your heart, to live a godly life. It requires patience. The crop doesn't happen overnight. Yes, there will be failures. But don't say, as Paul said, what should we say? Should we continue to sin so that the grace will be more abundant? No way. If the sin is an accident, it's not a norm in the life of a Christian. And we know that when we sin, we have an open entrance to Christ. And if we repent, we are being forgiven. And then the farmer teaches us the lesson that we depend on God. Because the farmer, all the farmer can do is what? Tilt the soil, put the seed, and then waits. For what? For the light, for the sun, for the rain. Depends exclusively on God. And you know what? When it's all said and done, godly living, it's all in the hands of God. However, we need to constantly and persistently ask God to help us live a godly life. The school starts in a week, the colleges, the elementary schools started, the high schools started. These schools need people who live a godly living. And I pray that the youth at New Life will be a youth that lives a godly living. You have the Word of God. You had the messages. You will have messages. But after all is said and done, you need to live a godly life with intention. May God help you do that. And may God help all of us do that. Amen.
Amen.